This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're tuned in to The Property Show, our weekly take on all things property related, and I'm Sim Wee Boon. It's the last Friday of the month, and as usual, Chris Tan of Chur Associates join us today in the studio to answer your questions on the monthly property legal clinic. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Yes, thanks for having me again.
So our first question comes from Sarah. She sent this via WhatsApp, and she says, the property I bought is due to be completed next year and I'll be starting to serve the loan then. I'm planning to rent it out instead of moving in. It's a condominium. What kind of preparation should I have? What are the concerns that I need to consider when it comes to renting it out? And this will be her first condominium.
Right. I think for Sarah, all you need to know, very importantly, number one, is that there is no Landlord and Tenant Act in Malaysia. What does it mean? It means that there is no specific law that regulates this relationship. So what it means is that the key, most important document in relating this relationship that you're going to go into is actually the tenancy agreement. And mind you, also, there's no such thing as standard tenancy agreement. And that's important because normally when you deal with tenancy agreement, you would have like a real estate agent to help you to place out and whatnot. Then they will prepare a tenancy agreement. And when you ask them, they'll say that it's a standard document. Yes, it is a standard document that I keep using. But for all intents and purposes, there is no standard that means that everyone is still free to change the term and condition stated in the tenancy agreement. So I think number one, Sarah need to do is that, for example, really go and get a copy of a sample tenancy agreement that is commonly used by the estate agent that you're about to engage. And then you read it through. I think it's important to understand the reading of the whole thing, as in, like, you know, what are the terms and conditions? For example, you must know what is your responsibility, right? For example, you must know how do you terminate if you need to exit at the end of the day. And also, is there any room for adjustment of rental in any event? And what happened if they stop halfway, they leave halfway, your tenant? So what do you do? So I think is that first and foremost, you must understand all these relationships so that, and the terms and conditions, so that you know that what is your right, what can you do, and understand this whole tenancy and landlord thing. By the way, Malaysia being a Commonwealth country, we adopted the common law system from the UK. So UK have a very interesting regime that's unlike everywhere else, is the we are very pro-tenant, which means that if you're a landlord, please protect yourself. So the word use is quite suggesting already because it's called landlord. See, when you're a landlord, the word lord seems to suggest to you that you are of unequal footing, which means that you are supposed to be more sophisticated, more complex, more superior in terms of bargaining power. So what it means is that normally tenant will be more favored by the court. So if you are the landlord, then you have to learn to protect yourself. So I think that's important to understand the terms and conditions. Number two is that you must also understand this relationship. You said condominium. So I want to highlight a few things about condominium before you go into this landlord and tenant business where you actually want to earn from rental income. For condominium, one thing that you must know is that after you get your key, which is a few months from now, you say you're about to get your key. So once you get your key, you have to start to pay this thing called service charge as well as sinking fund. So why is this important in terms of landlord and tenant? It's because for all intents and purposes, this part of the expenses is to be paid by you, which means that your tenant is not paying the rental plus a portion of sinking fund plus a portion of the service charge.
Can the person work that into the rental charge?
Oh, of course, you can work that into rental charge, but it's not separate. Mm. So what it means is a lot of people think that, oh, it's like a plus-plus kind of thing. So I consume, so I thought all the tax are included, you know, it's like a fixed price. So in this case, it's more like the rental cover everything. There's no such thing as rental cover, service charge cover. Plus service charge, plus sinking fund. So in relation to all that, So you're being a landlord, you must know that, you know, you are getting a net rental. And upon the net rental, you must again see that there are other costs that you need to pay. So you must factor that in. If you don't factor that in, that will be on you. But again, rental go by market demand, right? And it's market rate. So, of course, in a perfect world, you want to get your desired return plus the reimbursement of your service charge and reimbursement of your sinking fund, given that you're not there. But in real life, again, it's market-driven. So, for example, since you said this is your first condominium and you say you're about to get your key, the likelihood is that everyone is going to get a key at the same time. So everyone will be competing for tenant. So the question is, unless there is an oversupply of tenant in a way, right, or the demand is high in relation to that, chances are you'd really need to compete. So if you want to get your renter in fast, then of course you have to be very competitive. But if you don't mind, if you can hold it for a while, which includes your payment of your installment plus the sinking fund and also the service charge you need to pay monthly, regardless of whether you have tenant or not. So that's probably the factor you have to consider.
Okay, so in conclusion, the terms and condition part is really not dictated by any law. And it's just you got to figure that out yourself unless you engage a real estate agent.
The real estate agent will give you some sample.
Okay.
All right, and you can engage a lawyer as well. They can give you some sample as well. But since if you are engaging a lawyer in this regard, then you have to then ask the question and you have to understand, because like I said, the law is very protective of the tenant. Mm. There's this saying to say that possession is 9/10 of the law. What does that mean? It means that, you know, if you are the person in possession, the chances are the law is going to favor you. I mean, if you read the news about this thing about squatters, illegal squatters.
Yes, yes.
And why is there a need to actually compensate illegal squatter? You look at certain landowner, you know, have to move them out, they have to ask them, give them notice, and even give them alternative accommodation arrangement, you know, notwithstanding that they are illegal in the first place. So what does it mean? It means that the law is actually interpreted to that effect. So include tenant in this sense. So enforcement against tenant is very important. So one more advice for Sarah is perhaps the screening of your tenant. Not the person who can pay you, not the person who can afford what you ask for. But I think it's important to also do some assessment, do interview the tenant. Is you have to understand, I mean, very likely this condominium going to be one of the biggest investment in Sarah's life, right? So when that is the case, you need a good partner. The last thing you want is a tenant from hell who come in, who pay your rental but don't like your premises, don't like your property. So they won't treat it properly. Maintenance will be very hard to come by. So in that case, you are actually sorting out a partner.
Okay, and we'll have more of your questions and answers from Chris after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon, and I have Chris Tan here in the studio with me for the monthly property legal clinic. It takes place at the last Friday of every month. Now, earlier we were talking about the many considerations go into renting. Now we go to a question from Mark Bull, who emailed it in and asked, I've recently come across the term fake real estate agents. He wants to know, what are they? What kind of harm can they do to prospective home buyers like Makbul? And how can he protect himself from fake real estate agents?
Okay, good, Mark. These days, the word fake is associated to a lot of things, news, real estate agent, and everything else.
Yes.
And if you didn't have this thing called a deep fake, but anyway.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So I thought fake is something very subjective again. But I think very importantly, we must understand what is a real estate agent before we say that they are fake, you know, in the first place.
Unlicensed and all, maybe?
Correct. So license is one thing and regulated is one thing. So just like any other profession, real estate agent is a profession, right? So real estate agent is a profession, basically means that it's regulated. So just like lawyer, we are a profession, we are regulated by this this body called the Bar Council, and agent is regulated by this body called the Board of Valuer Appraisal Estate Agent and Property Managers. So we call it BOVIA. And this is directly under the purview of Ministry of Finance. So what happened is that you must be properly licensed by this board, all right, or registered with them in before you can practice real estate agency. Because there is this thing about today's world, today, everyone is an agent, right? In that sense, if you say this thing, because after all, everyone's after the commission. But just put it this way, it's a recognized profession. And if you are serious about it as a prospective buyer, if you are looking for good advice, right, in relation to what to do with your property, what you acquire about your property or later rented it out, you really have to deal with the real duly registered and licensed registered agent. There's actually two types, just so that everyone is clear. One is called the real estate agent. An agent is sort of like the real professional in the whole sense, which you need to have professional qualification, and you even need to have like post-qualification, 2 years of practical experience before you can make and granted this thing called the real estate agent. So having being a real estate agent entitles you to operate a real estate agency. So if you get a card from a proper real estate agent, normally they're attached to an agency. And if you actually look at their agency, there's actually a number and an alphabet next to it, next to the agency, basically means that they are registered and they are regulated in a way, right? So that's the first type is called real estate agent. And then there's another type that's called the negotiator, which comparatively to an agent is sort of like an employee of the agent. Okay. And they are also involved in the commission collecting business, whereby they are connecting the buyer and the seller, connecting the tenant and the landlord, you know, in relation to real estate. So for all intents and purposes, these are they must be full-time employee of the agency, and they need to attend to certain courses and then so that entitle them to what we call registered as a real estate negotiator. So a negotiator, for all intents and purposes, would have a tag. And for example, if you don't know, you're not sure, ask them about their tag. All right, they are normally called the REN, R-E-N, as in the real estate negotiator, not your Kylo Ren, right? but the real estate negotiator. So as far as the negotiator is concerned, they will... they are also professional, but normally they're attached to an agency. So that's where you can verify. And of course, if you are not clear about whether they're registered, whether they're regulated, whether they're licensed, you can always visit the official website of this Board of Valuers and Appraisal Estate Agent and Property Manager. Basically, you go to the website of lppeh.gov.my. It's under Ministry of Finance. This is in Malay, in abbreviation, Lembaga, whatever. In that sense, it's lppeh.gov.my. Then you can find out whether this person is regulated or this person or is actually attached. I mean, if it's a negotiator, first thing first is probably call up the agency. Always get the name card.
Yes, yes.
Once you get the name card, call up to the general line of the name card. Don't call the mobile phone, right? And then just ask whether SIM is really a real estate negotiator, whether he's attached with your agency or not, you know? And of course, if they're behaving not professional in any way, you can always complain to the board, because that's what the board for, because the board is supposed to keep and maintain the register, to approve any registration, to hold any disciplinary proceeding, which means you can complain as a consumer. If somebody behave badly or not professionally or what you think they're supposed to be, there's this such thing. And they also skillfully being the regulated and whatnot. So it's a good way to find out. So what kind of harm can they do to you? I think it's very simple. Just put it this way. If you are being operated by a so-called unregistered, unlicensed, unqualified dentist, so which means for all intents and purposes, you would have a bigger risk of problem. And if there is problem, you probably don't have professional indemnity insurance and things like that to help you to cover it. So like I said, always get the real one. After all, you're paying anyway.
Yep.
You know, this whole idea of paying professional, after all, you're paying. So you might as well get a good one and maybe get the one that's proper.
Yep. Yes. So double check the name card and then check with the agency itself.
Yep.
Anyways, that's all the time we have for the monthly property legal clinic today. Thanks as always, Chris. Join us again next month as Chris Tan of Chair Associates helps shed some light on your legal property conundrums. Send your questions to property@bfm.my or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next and followed by Enterprise BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.